You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
You're listening to Huh Podcast.
Everybody, we're back.
Hey!
Happy Halloween. As of right now recording it is 4 days away.
Yep.
And,
the countdown has begun.
Yeah, countdown has begun. Of course, TV, movies, everything is Halloween. In our house, it's pretty much Halloween. All the time. I don't really compartmentalize. See? They agreed to. Compartmentalize my horror viewing. It may pick up a little bit more, but...
But now you get the fun of watching, like, Halloween Wars and...
Right.
With all, And yeah. The kids get into that, too, watching them carve the pumpkin.
Right, yeah. And that's a real good way of introducing the little ones. Like we had said in the past, Nico and Serenity, they're into, art and creativity and Play-Doh and this and this. So, to see people turn pumpkin, cake, sugar into, a ghoul or a clown or a ghost or a zombie. It was really cool, and they like to see that transformation. And it also reaffirms the fact that this is all pretend.
Mm-hmm.
It's all play and effects and, the man behind the curtain, Great and Powerful Oz type of stuff. So that's...
I don't think they enjoy, the straight cake baking shows as much as they do the ones that have all the different elements
in it.
They like watching those being put together with the big storyboards and they like that a lot more.
Mm-hmm. And I love the the guest stars, the guest judges. They had the kid from Stranger Things on there and
Gaten, is that his name?
I don't remember. The kid that played Dustin. And Mick Garris was on this season. And John Kuzier, the guy that did the voice of the Crypt Keeper, he was on. And in the past, they've had some great judges. Fiona Dora, Derek Mears. One whole season, Tom Savini was a guest judge. And so that's something that we've been watching. That's real fun, Halloween Wars.
You know what we missed this year? Did they have that show this year with all the, like they do at Christmas time?
Oh, the what?
All the lights and the decorations?
I don't think they did.
I didn't remember
ABC normally does that. They do it at Christmas, the light fight, and then...
Yeah, the great Christmas light fight. But they had one for Halloween
Yeah, a couple of years they've had where, little towns to get together for haunts.
It came up on my Facebook as a memory watching the one... Mm-hmm. There were some families that would spend $10,000 or $20,000 a year putting up lights just for Halloween. And then they'd do it again at Christmas. Right. And I'm like, okay, spending $10,000 or $20,000 a year. I love Halloween.
Yeah.
I'm not spending $20,000 a year decorating my house.
Well, what you do is you take a couple of grand and you do a Nightmare Before Christmas one. And then that one you just... Like we will do with our tree. You just kind of recycle.
You can do that.
It's more bang for the buck.
Although I'm thinking we might have missed it since we haven't done the tree. We said we were going to. We haven't
yet. It's still a patriotic tree. But, in all fairness, we've been running around. I work full time. We're doing the podcast. We're trying to get together for Buried Alive Film Fest in Atlanta. You've been running crazy. You had your play before the Cotton Patch Gospel.
Right.
Then that broke for a couple of weeks.
Right. Well, then homeschool went into full gear, and I'm still working part-time from home. And now the kids are doing their play, so they've got practice 5 nights a week.
Right.
And then I auditioned for another play and got a role in that play, so I get to play the mean Mrs. Olson.
Yeah, I'm doing the...
Excited about that.
What was that, The Little House on Prairie Christmas?
Oh, I think it's called Little House Christmas.
Little House Christmas.
Little House Christmas.
Yeah. So, hey, we have a tree in our corner of our living room that is red, white, and blue, and oh well. But
speaking of plays.
Oh, yeah. So, at the community theater, a few weeks ago, they showed Young Frankenstein. And we didn't have a chance to go to that. But I have it on Blu-ray. I've seen it a million times. But they did a shadow cast of Rocky Horror Picture Show. Mm-hmm. And we went last night. We finally got a babysitter, so that was cool. Date night for mom and dad. And that was really fun.
We've seen it there like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
We've seen them.
Yeah, when we saw it 5 years ago, they did. They showed a... It was a double feature, per se. They showed Night of the Living Dead. And I think that year they also did a stage production of Night of the Living Dead. With the kids.
Yeah.
Like, kids' version of Night of the Living Dead, which I didn't get a chance to see. I would have loved to have seen that. But they did Night of the Living Dead and then showed the movie Rocky Horror Picture Show with a cast going through the motions like they have done. And then this year they did
They had a cool little opening show before.
Yeah, it was introducing the Time Warp and introducing the virgins who have never seen a production done before.
I was so happy to be able to say
they embarrassed the crap out of them, so but we ducked that fire. They had prop bags for sale with newspaper and rice and playing cards and
rubber gloves to snap the rubber gloves.
Yeah. So if you're familiar with Rocky Horror Picture Show, you know, you kind of do all that in queue with the film and with the actors. So that was real fun, especially, I mean, we live in a smaller town, you know, our downtown is like Main Street USA. Mm-hmm. And for them to, but it is, there's a lot of people who appreciate art. Mm-hmm. You know, and antiquing and stuff like that. So it kind of falls in that wheelhouse. The people around here are real cool. They're not, you know, small town hayseed. They are just, they're sincere.
They like the arts and having fun. And
yeah. You know, quite a few of the people do burlesque and stuff like that. So, you know, they're not prudish or stupid, but, you know.
But as far as it was the day before, I told Nico that we were going out on a date and that we were going to go to a play. And, you know, being in a play herself now, she said, well, why can't I go? Why can't I go? And I'm trying to explain to a 7-year-old why she cannot go and see the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And being a homeschooling mom, I tend to sometimes overshare. So I went into a little bit more detail with her, and then she just started shaking her head, and she's like, no, mom, don't want to see it. No, mom, that's okay. Yeah. And at one point, I think we had said that Killian might be able to go and see it in a few years, and after watching it again last night, we said maybe even a few more years.
Yeah, we'll push it back just a few more years. You know, he's only 11.
Not yet. He's got 4 more days.
That's true. Holding on to the baby boy. Mm-hmm. But, so yeah, we did. Oh, and this was actually our second date night in 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yep.
Wow, so props to that. We went and we saw Halloween.
Halloween.
Go ahead.
Did we want to go talk about a little update on Crosswalk before we do that, or did we want to...
You know what? Yeah, let's do that. We, if you listen to last episode, we ended with a fairly strong opinions about a particular Facebook group, Crosswalk, and how, you know, I think I called them grenade throwers, or I...
Yeah, and I think what we, you know, what we discussed yesterday that we haven't really discussed about Crosswalk before. Crosswalk is almost just kind of like a host page.
Right.
It's all just, it's articles written by different people from, with different experiences, and they're just articles, and Crosswalk really just kind of, it doesn't seem like they have any agenda. It's mm-hmm. just...
It just seems like...
You write the article, you give it to them, and they post it.
Right. And they just happen to post some articles a lot more often than others.
Or even, like, the same type, you know, they'll post once about drinking, whether Christians should drink.
Right.
And most of the time, it's eight reasons to... Or eight things to think about before you drink a beer if you're a Christian, or,
right.
you know, 10 things to think about before you
you buy a lottery ticket.
A lottery ticket, or before you get a tattoo. And there'll be like four articles that all have the same kind of slant.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them, it's don't drink, don't buy a lottery ticket, don't get a tattoo.
Don't
do this, yeah. don't do that. So most of them have the don't slant.
And what was that? Drink, smoke, chew, or hang with those who do?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then every once in a while they'll pop up with the tattoo, the drinking, but it'll be a slant towards, well, this is what, you know, this is why I feel it's okay. But again, they're all just articles written by different people, different walks of life, different.
Right.
So I don't know if there's going to be any. It's not necessarily Crosswalk's fault, I guess. Right. I guess that's what I'm trying to.
Right.
Trying to get at.
I guess, and the clientele of the people, they're going to, their image is going to be reflective of the people who frequent those sites.
Right.
And most people who will frequent those sites are...
The don't drink, don't smoke. Right.
Conservative, you know, you're more conservative Christians. You know, personally, you know, personal conservative, theologically conservative,
which
politically conservative either.
Right, but speaking about theology, Crosswalk actually has a second page, and it's called, it's like Crosswalk-Theology,
mm-hmm.
and that, I don't know if I've shown you that one yet.
No.
But that one's not article-based. That one is post-based.
Mm-hmm.
Where the people on the group
so
actually
it's like
make
a discussion
posts,
group.
And it's a discussion group about theology.
Oh.
I don't spend as much time there. It doesn't seem to be as active.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got other groups that I speak theology that I speak theology with. So, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they might, Crosswalk might have realized kind of the ebb and flow.
Right.
On Crosswalk General, so they made that other one. But of course, with it being Halloween, they're still going on and on and on and on about Halloween.
Yeah. And, you know, the devil's birthday, for those of you not know.
Oh yes, the devil's birthday. Yeah. It's an evil day. It's I mean, I've heard it's a disgusting, demonic day, and God can't be glorified in it.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I knew, God could be glorified 365 days a year. I didn't know that there was a day that God, like, took a rest.
Right.
Oh, wait, can't talk to me today.
No.
I gotta...
I'm hiding. Today's Halloween. It's Zane's birthday, and he's pissed. Anyhow. But, I mean, props to them, though. Crosswalk, they've been putting articles on about
the actual history.
You know, one, eight practical Halloween costume ideas.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, that was one. Another.
No, granted,
one.
It was Noah's Ark animals, and it was all like the baby costumes for Noah's Ark.
How about like
Moses and Jesus?
Balaam's ass would be a fun one. Well, imagine, you know, never mind. You know, something about talking asses in this page really gets me going. But anyhow, I digress. But they did have, like you said, the origins of Halloween and things to remember. And crazily enough, they had three main points. And they seem to be the points that we talked about, you know, the last time we spoke with Killian.
Right, that that Halloween is not
Satan's birthday, because Satan wasn't born.
Right, that he was created. And yeah, I mean, there were a few little things here and there in the article overall that I was like, yeah, that's kind of, right. I'm not quite sure about the
right.
accuracy of that, but overall it was a good you know, it talked about how Halloween is not the same as
Samhain,
how they, you know, those are two distinct days. They might happen to fall on the same calendar day of October 31st, but they're two different things, have two different origins, two different purposes, that they're not the same thing. And what I found remarkable on it was when I discovered it, a lot of times, just since I'm on there so often, Crosswalk comes up on my feed a lot because of the algorithms and everything. But so sometimes I don't always, there might be something that I don't see.
Yeah.
So every once in a while I go on their page, and I actually went to the page and found this one with all the facts about Halloween. Now, mind you, all the ones I've been to before that could have upwards of 200-300 comments, and sometimes it'll have as many as, you know, 60 or 70 comments within the first hour.
Right.
This particular one had been posted for 4 hours, and there was not one comment.
Right.
My comment was the first comment after 4 hours, and basically it was like, quite interesting how we've got something here showing the facts about Halloween, and not a single word.
Right.
Nobody wants to say anything.
Like I said, they were confused by the facts. Don't confuse me with the facts.
Well, then I had somebody come on, you know, when I posted that, I tagged Dino on it and said, hey, it's kind of interesting. This has been, Halloween one's been up for 4 hours and not a single person has commented on it. And then somebody came into that and said, oh, well, that's because we're tired of fighting.
Yeah, we're tired of arguing about
Halloween. Yet there was another one that had been posted just like 3 hours after that one, so it was on an hour at that point, and there was already 40 comments. And
including
that person who was on there arguing. So I just kind of went, I said, yeah, no, that's not it. I said, because there's already 40 people commenting on one posted after this, so no, you guys are not tired of arguing. You just didn't want to have to...
You don't want to
face the facts.
The facts and repudiate them, yeah.
But, you just want to keep arguing about it.
And, you know, the main thing is my answer to them was two things. One, Halloween, because they would say, oh, Halloween was, is Samhain just written? No. Halloween replaced Samhain like Christmas replaced the winter solstice. I mean... You had a group of pagans that were being evangelized. They had their day. And the Christians, to incorporate some of their tradition, not their beliefs, but their traditions and some of their festivals and their fun, in order to, you know, accommodate, not make it...
Created a new...
Create a combined culture, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, a melting pot, if you will, made this Halloween and took some of their aspects. It wasn't a big deal. Oh, Halloween, it's preached against in the Bible. No. it's never even mentioned in the Bible.
Neither is
Samhain. Yeah, neither is Samhain, and for that case, neither is Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
The birth of Jesus is, but not Christmas. Anyway, so... I was going somewhere. Oh, yeah. So that was one of my answers. The other one is, okay, you as a Christian, what other day of the year do you have an opportunity where people in droves are coming to your house? Mm-hmm. You know, looking for an interaction. All you need to do is give them a Snickers bar and say, God bless you. Mm-hmm. And that's it. No harm, no foul. But no, we, you know, we, as them, prefer to lock yourself, release the hounds, and hide, and, you know, that's it. And that's it.
Yeah, there was one person was talking about how it would be, you know, because I talked about how it is, and you can use it to speak mm-hmm. about God, and you can glorify God in by your actions.
Right.
Throughout the day,
because mm-hmm.
it's all in how you celebrate,
yeah.
you know, and she said, well, you know, wouldn't it be better just to, you know, go over to their house and have dinner and sit and talk or something of that nature.
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
And I said, well, you know, I said, so you've got to actually meet people first. You can't just knock on their door and say, let's have, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, you're turning them away when they're coming to your house asking for a candy bar. They're certainly not going to go to their house and go, hey, can I have dinner?
Right.
You're going to bring wine? You know, it's your house. God forbid you crack a beer.
Right. So, you know, so I said that to her and she goes, oh, and her, the response back was, oh, yeah, like you're really, that's really going to happen within a 5-second interaction. And I told her, I said, well, you know, that's where it comes in, where you've got to be a forward-going person.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, there's been times where people have come to my door and we talked for 10 or 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been times when I'm out trick-or-treating and I've been at somebody else's door for 10 or 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you get to meet people.
Yeah.
You know, being able to, going out and trick-or-treating within your neighborhood gives you the opportunity to speak to people that you might not normally or in any other circumstance really get to talk to or meet. And there's been times like, because our town is kind of very sporadic with any trick-or-treating. Like there's none around our house.
No.
And I think that's really because there's really not that many kids in our little neighborhood.
Right.
So we actually go down our main street, and that is huge. I mean, you get 200 or 300 people.
Yeah.
In going up and down Main Street, and there's been a couple of times where, you know, you kind of get it. Once you get there, you kind of slip in the line somewhere, and you all kind of stay in the same line and follow everybody around. So you wind up walking with the same groups, and we've wound up talking to people for, you know, upwards of 2 hours.
Yeah.
Just walking around, and our kids become fast friends with their kids as they're running up to each house getting candy. And we stand out on the, you know, back at the sidewalk talking with the parents. And we wind up having a good, you know, 1 to 2 hour conversation. And this is meeting somebody that's not even necessarily in your neighborhood, but somebody who might live all the way on the other side of town that you might never have met otherwise.
Right.
So it's the opportunity is there. If you look for the opportunity, if you want to say, well, it's not there and it can't be turned for good. Well, that's because you're choosing not to.
Right. Yeah.
And so anyway, that's pretty much a rabbit trail, but same thing's going on with Crosswalk. All, as Dino said, though, they did.
But they give them
the props for giving a factual.
Yeah. Like I said, credit where credit is due for actually doing that. But Halloween, the movie.
I will say, because
mm-hmm.
I won't say that's one of my favorite movies,
mm-hmm.
Halloween,
the franchise
yeah. in general, but out of the franchise, this one's my favorite.
Okay. Yeah, because I kind of say it's the choose your own adventure of the horror, you know, franchises. You know, you have 1, 2, 3, 4. You have at least 4 different timelines going on. You have the Rob Zombie Halloween for this conversation, for all intents and purposes, we will just put that off to the side because it's not what we're talking about. If you want to listen to a couple of podcasts about those, Grindhouse Messiah and Victim and Villains did a crossover discussing Rob Zombie's Halloween 1 and Halloween 2. So I recommend that.
Yeah, and I will say those my personal least.
Okay. I'll just talk about them briefly. I really liked the first one when we went to see it in the theater. Back in 07 when it came out. Really liked it. Thought it was good. You know. But then when it came out on DVD and they did the director's cut and they switched out the escape scene where he's walking during a night transfer, breaks the chains, wrecks hell, and kills people and leaves. They changed that for the stupid redneck white trash rape scene thing with this catatonic girl. I don't expect much else out of Rob Zombie on that. You know, that being said, Devil's Rejects is one of my favorite films. But, yeah, that kind of really knocked it down about 2.5 stars for me. The second film, I don't particularly like it. I really don't watch it. Some people do like it, and I know Justin from Farsighted, he really likes it. Let me quote him properly. He thinks it's the most interesting Halloween film of all of them. Okay. Interesting and good are not, you know, mutually exclusive, nor are they, you know, synonymous. So I'm not going to put words in his mouth. He has a point. It is interesting. I think poop is more interesting than mud, but neither one of them do I really like. Anyhow, those off to the side. You have
mud can be purposeful.
Mud can be purposeful. Well, so can poop, fertilizer.
Yeah, I will.
Anyhow. It all comes back to poop. Anyhow. We have the Halloween, the original John Carpenter film. Then we had Halloween 2, which took place the same night. It was Laurie got picked up, brought to the hospital. He tracks her down to the hospital. This is where they introduce Laurie and Michael being brother and sister. Then with that, we skip 3 because Season of the Witch was a standalone film. It was going to end at 2 with Michael being dead. So you have 3. But they decided to continue. In the 80s, they had 4, 5, 6. 90s, but... And that was what we call the Cult of Thorn timeline, going there. That ended with The Revenge of Michael Myers. No, I'm sorry, The Curse of Michael Myers. Then that stopped. Then H2O came out. I really like H2O.
And see, that was the first one out of... I mean, you know, I'd seen the first one, mm-hmm. and I think I'd seen the second one. I'm not sure if I saw any of the other ones. Because, being honest for myself, mm-hmm. the slasher ones, those are not my favorite type of horror. I'm not... I'll sit and I'll watch them.
Right.
But I can find my... I can very easily tune it out,
mm-hmm.
and my mind can go elsewhere. So that's not my favorite genre. But when H2O came out,
that one
I actually got into.
Right.
It kept my attention the entire time. But then again, this new one I felt even more so.
Okay, so then we have H2O, which I think if you take 1, 2, and H2O... You have a great trilogy right there. You have the whole Laurie Strode trilogy. She decapitates Michael at the end. Great film. we could stop right there and have those three. I'm not a big fan of 4, 5, and 6. I didn't try watching. I watched 4 and 5 again a couple of weeks ago. And good golly. Not for me. Really. Especially 5. 4. I will say, though, that Danielle Harris, for a little girl, she was great. She was really good. Donald Pleasance was off the chain as Loomis, tormenting kids like he does the entire franchise. Starting at 1, hey Lonnie, get your ass away from that house. You know, stuff like that. And then he just torments Jamie, you know. Throws her in front of Michael. Here, take, you know, trying to bait him. I mean, wow. Anyhow, but 4 and 5, not good, with the exception of Danielle Harris. The Curse of Michael Myers, the whole cult thing, I don't even know where to go from that. Jumping back to 5 real quick. We're going to think that Michael will have gotten shot and fallen asleep for an entire year in a man's cave. And then just wake up a year later, kill him, and leave. But anyhow. So, after H2O, we had Resurrection. We have Busta Rhymes and Tyra Banks doing a reality show, webcam reality show thing. Wow. I mean, this was just, let's make, you know.
This was, sometimes it just gets to the point of, let's make a movie just because we can make a movie.
Yeah.
Throw the mic, you know. Basically, they had actors that they wanted to make a movie for, and they said, let's make it a Michael Myers movie, and because that'll draw.
Right.
We have an instant audience.
Right. Yeah. Mustafa Akkad's kid had the, you know, has the rights to the character. Let's do this. We'll put in this thing where Michael kills a EMT, no, crushes his throat so he can't talk. And then he gets put in the van. And then for some reason, he wakes up, he moves, he regenerates just like Michael would, but only he's just a guy. No. I mean, that's just insulting. It really is. So that timeline to me, you know. So up until this point, I loved 1, 2, H2O, leave it at that. There's my Halloween for it. And then Blumhouse decides we're going to do a sequel, okay, to the Laurie Strode one. Oh, okay, did she not die in Resurrection? Well, no, we're not doing Resurrection. Okay, good. Well, we're not doing H2O either. What? Okay, yeah, and that whole thing with Jamie Lloyd being her daughter, that we're not doing that either. Okay, so this is what, after part 2? No, we're not doing the part 2 thing. Well, what do you mean? Well, they're not even brother and sister. Okay, so 2 is completely out of the window. Yeah, we're doing Halloween 78 and Halloween 18. 40 years difference. Both of them named Halloween. Halloween. Okay. Let's see where this goes. So the only way you can do this is watch Halloween before you go to the movie. Uh-huh. Get a cleanse your palate. Cleanse your Halloween palate and watch the original one and leave it at that.
Yep.
And it is so easy when you look at it to believe that 18 will happen. Mm-hmm. You know, Laurie is the one that got away. Mm-hmm. He was fixated on her the moment she dropped the key off at the Myers place with Tommy Doyle. That's when he channeled her. That's why he stalked her. Because she was there at the house. Everyone else was really collateral damage because they were around Lori. I mean, yeah, they, shouted crap at him, speed kills and all that stuff. You know, Creepo, and so poor Annie and I forgot, the other character. Oh, darn it. Anyhow. Dino is an idiot. PJ Souls played Linda. But it is very easy, like I said, Halloween 18, and getting back to back.
Yeah, I mean, they made it very easy to forget that anything was done in between. The writing was very seamless. It just, it felt like it was,
Right. And I'm hearing a lot, most people are really loving the movie or really dogging it. And everyone's entitled to their opinions. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that. And they're like, they're having problems with, some of the continuity, which, I mean, some of the people were actually still saying, and they're not understanding how they can get rid of all the other ones. Well, they did. I mean, I'm sorry. Just, they did it with H2O. H2O had gotten rid of the whole Cult of Thorn timeline. That didn't happen in there. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, was it a perfect movie? In my opinion, no. Sitting and thinking about it, I probably give it on a 5-star scale. I'd give it probably between a 3.5 and a 4. I really liked it. It's my favorite after the original. And really, it's my favorite after the original because the original is the original. And without that, you have nothing. So that one, you have to give it. But it's really, it's not a slasher, the original, per se. Two people die from a knife. Annie gets choked out in the car. And then the other guy, I can't remember her name, darn it.
Dino is an idiot. PJ Souls played Linda.
She gets strangled with a phone cord. But it didn't set the stage expertly. So that's, great. And the ending, it's a great, fantastic suspense film. And a killer, and a horror movie. It is a horror movie. Mm-hmm. But, the slasher wasn't a thing then. So it did set that stage. So at that point, yes, it is. Okay. I'll amend that. I'm not above correcting myself. Where was I going with that? This one went full out slasher. I mean, I think it was it 15 or 17 murders in this movie, where the other one had 5.
Some of them got pretty brutal on this one, too.
Oh, yeah, they did. But,
maybe I enjoyed it a little bit more because our movie theater now has the reclining chairs.
Yeah.
That might have been.
Yeah, reclining chairs. You need, you don't need that stranger buffer seat. If you sit next to a stranger, you're still about 2 feet from them, so you're okay. You don't have that, personal space thing.
So I was nice and relaxed, so maybe that's why I enjoyed this one a little bit more.
The reason why I kind of downgraded it, and at this point, the movie's out for 2 weeks. If you're a fan of Halloween, or if you're remotely interested, you've probably seen it. So, we will go spoiler. Yeah.
As usual.
Yep.
Haven't.
Here's the warning.
Spoiler.
Stop it. Go watch it. Come back. The problem I had with the movie, two problems I have with the movie. One, the doctor. To me, really, you could have done without him. Mm-hmm. You know, Loomis Light. You could have done without him. You could have had Lori being the Ahab, you know, type. The one pursuing him is, you know, because she wanted to pursue Michael.
She was at the bus,
mm-hmm. But her fear and panic overcame her. And it wasn't until Michael got brought to her doorstep where she really, it was fight or flight at that point. You know, so she had the intention on facing him. She prayed for 40 years that he would escape so that she could kill him, but couldn't do it. And then when she had to do it, things got done. The other problem I had was the damn boyfriend. I hated him. Hated him. And normally, I like to hate a character because I love when they die. He doesn't. He's a schmuck. He kisses Tiger Girl at the Halloween party. She gets mad. He takes her. Throws her phone in
a punch bowl.
Punch bowl, which looked like moose. I don't even know.
maybe it was a
punch
bowl. I don't know.
It sunk. Well, it was still ringing, so she really could have grabbed that and cleaned it off. But
really, that was sticky.
Yeah. But he should have walked her home, trying to.
Yeah,
get back with her or trying to whatever, instead of rapey creeper friend,
mm-hmm.
who was, you deserve better than him. I'm better. Let me kiss you. Really, dude? If there was ever a swing and a miss, that was it.
He had to know that wasn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah, come on.
Had
dude.
To know it.
And then he was hitting on a boyfriend before that, I think. So, yeah. Anyway. So. That was just dumb. You could have done without him. Put Cameron, I think the boyfriend's name was. Because they made him a character. They had that. He was at the restaurant where Lori came and had the meltdown. He seemed like he would be a sensitive type guy. He's a toolbox.
He was a confusing character. Because like you said, at the restaurant, he seemed like he was caring.
Mm-hmm.
In most of his scenes, he seemed like he was caring. And then all of a sudden at the party, it was like...
It was like, oh, I got drunk and kissed her, but I really didn't kiss her. It wasn't what it looked like.
Yeah, but it didn't even seem like it could really be blamed. The way he played it at the party,
mm-hmm.
it didn't seem like it could be a drunken mistake.
No.
It seemed like... That's the type of person he was.
Yeah. Like, oh, well, she's gone with me.
Right. It wasn't played off as he was drunk and didn't know what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
It was played off as a...
Yeah, he was...
This is who I really... I'm being who I really am now. But there was nothing to make that transition, and it seemed opposite of...
Yeah.
His other scenes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that really wasn't... I don't know whether it was more... to him, and then they just cut back, but, yeah.
You can find a lot on that cutting room floor.
Yeah, he should have died, that guy. So, that really took a half a star away from me. Actually, he took the star away from me. Dr. Weirdo took the other half a star. So, like I said, I fought between 3.5 and 4 on this. All in all, still, you know, when it comes out, will I buy it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Will I repeatedly watch it? Yeah.
Because I know that there's some underlying themes to the story of the granddaughter. Definitely.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to see if they take mm-hmm. that anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, and that was another thing is the ending. I don't know where they're going to go with it. I hope they don't. I believe it was greenlit for a sequel. But my hope is, I mean, have we not learned from Resurrection? We had, this was an amped up H2O remake, essentially. Yeah, you had, it was the sliding doors, if you will, of Laurie Strode. Remember that movie with, was it Gwyneth Paltrow?
Mm-hmm.
Where the one, she missed the train and she didn't miss her. She missed her husband cheating on her or something like that.
Yeah.
And it seemed like she had a worse life, but it ended up being more fruitful. Yeah. And then the other train, she got it, caught them cheating. Looks like a worse life, but ended up better. It was something like that.
Yeah.
You know. This was like that. You know, you had the Laurie Strode who left, became a, you know, ran into hiding in California, was a functioning alcoholic to cope, became a strict school marm to, what's his head? Yeah. The guy that played her or something. I forgot his name. Josh Hartnett.
Yeah.
And then you have the Laurie Strode who stayed in town, was still an alcoholic, which, okay.
Yeah, I mean, she's going to be an alcoholic either way.
You're going to be, there's something.
You've got some post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, you're going to have some coping mechanisms. You know, it's either alcoholism and structure and strictness, which is what
H2O was
with the, I forgot her name. Tate was her last name. Or the Laurie Strode, you know, raising the daughter, but trying to be a survivalist, but being really overboard.
See, and
with a lot can happen. And I'm not saying overboard for the cat. I get it.
But that scene, I think maybe that, setting aside the chairs, that, you know, I think that's why I liked this one, because I think that speaks to me more. Because if I went through what Laurie Strode went through, I would take that survivalist route.
Yeah.
I think that would be the, you know, instead of going the whole, I'm going to hide my alcoholism and be the,
right.
Be the head of a school, you know, a private school.
Right.
I mean, granted, she did that because of the security and everything at the school.
Right.
But,
well, if you had L. Cool J protecting you, you feel pretty darn safe.
Not reading his fiction. But, but no, I think cause that resonated, then Halloween 18 resonated with me more.
Right.
As that's the direction that I would see somebody going to after going through what she went through in 78.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of go toward that too, because not that my mother was stalked by a killer or anything, but my mother hit a time in her life that was a, you know, a crossroad path, and she went this route of, you know, I was raised with guns. My basement looked like, you know, I don't know, like I had early army for an uncle or something. I mean, I had guns, reloading machines, and all this in my house. So, you know, that was really, and my mom was a real strong personality, a real strong woman. So,
I regret never having been able to meet her.
But, so this really was the route I, you know, chose. And I thought Judy Greer, her daughter, I think she played the character very well.
Oh, yeah.
I like her a lot. You know, I've liked her since, heck, she was Tom Tom in 13 Going on 30. You know.
Oh, that's our One of our favorites.
Yeah.
It's one of the ones when you're flipping through the channels and see 13 going on 30. Even if you don't plan on watching the whole thing,
you
switch it to that channel just so you could watch it in the upper box while you continue to go through and see what else you might want to watch. 13 going on 30 is...
Just one of our films. I've got a couple like that. But
that remake. That remake.
All right, tangent. Side tangent. Really? A Clueless remake? Really? Seriously? Really? Seriously?
As if.
Whatever. Okay, I'm done. but Judy Greer, I mean, but the scene at the restaurant was like heartbreaking for me. You know, because this was another scene where I think Jamie Lee Curtis was brilliant. She went there with bravado, just like she went to the prison with bravado, and then panic took over. Same thing here. She went there because, damn it, this was something for her celebration for her niece, her granddaughter. Mm-hmm. She wasn't invited by the mother. She knew she wasn't invited by her own daughter. Mm-hmm. But the granddaughter wanted her there.
Look, and I love the relationship between her and her
granddaughter. Yeah, she was like, you know what? The hell with my mom. I'm gonna, you know, I want you there. Mm-hmm. I want, you know, forget about her, you know.
Will you do it for me?
Yeah. You know? And Lori did her best to brave it and broke down. Mm-hmm. Okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, it was heartbreaking, but she did a hell of a job on that.
So I mean, with it, you know, even though it had more killing and anything than the first one did, mm-hmm. There was more of a human element mm-hmm. to this one.
Yeah.
Well, I think I was drawn to that.
Mm-hmm.
There, because I'm very much character.
Yeah.
Character driven.
Which I think is probably why slashers, on the most part, don't really appeal to you.
Probably.
You have a, with the exception of Freddy, you don't have killers that have big personalities. You know, even Friday the 13th Part 1, the killer had a personality the last 20 minutes of the movie.
Well, not the killer, Voorhees.
The character and the characters themselves
aren't very
stereotype
deep.
Thrown in, body kill, fodder.
Right, they're not very deep, and I enjoy the deep and the human aspect, and that's, I did really see that in this new one. I saw the human aspect of it, and the emotions, and the...
Mm-hmm.
Because I think sometimes I tend to be an empath.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm drawn to that. And that's mm-hmm. what draws me in, is being able to empathize with these people.
Right.
And I think you're right. The other ones, I can't empathize with the people. So it's almost like, oh, who cares if they get killed?
I mean, even Mike, I mean, I thought it was a masterstroke showing who Michael is without showing Michael.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you saw him. He was a 60-something-year-old guy. A big 60-something-year-old guy. But you didn't... You know, when he has the mask on, he's the Shape. But I believed wholeheartedly that was a guy that was incarcerated for 40 years...
Stewing in his own thoughts.
Yeah. Because they say, you know, he can speak.
He just doesn't.
He just chooses not to. And everything he did, you know, he isn't a dummy. Mm-mm. He's smart and brutal.
He's been preparing for this day as much as Lori.
Yeah.
With all the physical work that she did to prepare for that day with her house, he did while he was locked up.
Yeah,
He did as much work.
Yeah. So, yeah, I once again, in closing, that was just, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I would see it again in the theater. I would buy it as soon as it comes out. Anything else that we have coming up?
Oh, well, like you said, we're trying to get ready for the
Film Festival.
Film Festival.
Yeah. Fairdeline Film Festival.
Trying to get that all organized and
worked out. That's going to be a great time.
Put into the schedule.
Yep.
Put on the docket.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely on that. We've got Halloween, Trick or Treat, Killian's birthday.
Yep, he's going as Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, he wants to do that again.
I gotta find that shirt that he had. He can use the pants for the new suit that we got, but we gotta find that shirt. Unless we just get another shirt.
Yeah.
Do the shirt again.
You have that tie?
The red tie looks better, though. We've gotta find that red tie.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he's gonna do that, and Nico's gonna be Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty Witch.
Hello Kitty Witch.
Mm-hmm.
TT's from Candyland.
The Candyland girl again. Yeah. I'm going as Sackhead Jason. So that'll be fun.
And I'm going for 10 years in a row now, just being the haggard mom that tried to get everybody ready and out the door to trick or treat. Because by the time I get done with everybody else, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, you tend to grab a mask from somewhere and throw it on. I mean, I think you got a sugar skull sitting around somewhere.
Yes.
But
oh, I can't wait to get that tattoo.
Oh, yes. You going to do a dog?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Sugar skull chihuahua face.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool.
Yep. But, okay, guys, we will see you. Have a great Halloween.
Nope.
And
we're out.
We are out. Be decent to each other. Bye.
Dino is an idiot. PJ Souls played Linda.